Well, I appreciate your prayers. Thinking some about the importance of the little things. Sometimes we pass over the little things and try to get to the big things. Sometimes people want to serve the Lord and they think of all the big things that you can do. But the Lord said if you wasn't faithful in the little things, you wouldn't be faithful in the big things. So we need to be faithful in the little things. I'd like to look at a verse of Scripture, 10th chapter of Ecclesiastes. In the 18th verse, it says, "By much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands the house droppeth through." I was thinking about the area that I live in, and there's you can drive about any of the highways around there, and you'll see along there, it's not uncommon at all. I can think of a number of places where you look out into kind of an old grown-up field, and you'll see what no doubt had to be a pretty impressive building of its day. It would maybe two or three stories with kind of fancy trim around it, and you could see somebody put a lot of effort into building that, and no doubt when it was through, the family or the person that put that there, it was probably pretty meaningful to do it. And as I look at it, a lot of times, the only thing I can think of is what a shame. Because I know that there is buildings and homes that was built way before those homes that still stand. We still have some the existing buildings in the country from the colonial times. But every one of them was took care of. Every one of those had to be maintained or they wouldn't have made it. There had to be some serious maintenance going on with those for them to have made it that long. And to look out and see these big fancy homes and to think what they was built for and all of those things. And really the fact that they're still there without any attention attests to something. But they're falling in. Many of them are falling in, and you can see the problem of it that I have with it is because sometimes I think in these terms, I think about what it'd be like to maybe get one of those and restore it. But most of them I'm talking about is beyond restoration. Nothing you could do, really. By the time you got rid of the rot, And the termite damage, and the time you got rid of everything that would be just to keep what you could keep, you wouldn't keep anything. Wouldn't be anything left of it. And I think so. What a shame. What a pity that it happened that way. But I can tell you the way it happened. Most of them was just simply abandoned. That's what happened to them. They were just abandoned. They were probably still nice when they were abandoned. They probably in most cases they didn't leave because they was run down. They've been there too long for that. They was probably just for one reason or another, somebody dies off or somebody moves away and there was not really any attention given to it. There wasn't any thing left, and so it was gone. Maybe it went into airship. There's a lot of that up home where it went into airship, and after it's so far in airship, there's always a fight over what it is and who's going to put the money in to fix it or who's going to stay in it. And after a while, it's an airship, but nobody takes responsibility for it, and it starts going down. What it generally starts with is a leak in the roof. Just a little thing. A little thing that the first time it happens, it is hardly damaging at all.
That's right.
It's just a seep. It's just a little bit. It doesn't really amount to much. But it doesn't end there. And the problem with it is that, and Lord help us to realize, my favorite definition of wisdom is to be able to see the results of an action. To be able to know what follows a thing. That's what wisdom really is. To be able to say, if I go down this path, I'm going to end up there. If I go down this road, I'm going to end up there. Wisdom says I'm going to end up somewhere. And I remember a story that Brother Jim told years ago of a farmer that was up there. I don't remember if it was him or somebody told it to him, but the farmer was there. They was out hunting or something, and they said on the ledge of these rocks, and he looked down, and these three little cute fox pups comes out on the ledge below him and was kind of wrestling and playing, and said how pretty, how beautiful it was, how cute those little foxes was. And the farmer gets his gun and he shoots them little foxes. Them cute little adorable foxes. The farmer was a chicken farmer. And when asked, why would you do that? These cute little fuzzy creatures. That's cruel. Why would you do that? Well, he had one simple answer. Because they grow up. That was his answer. If they would stay those cute little fuzz balls, no problem. If it would be just a little innocent, that's fine. But little foxes, in very short time, get to be big foxes. And do you know what big foxes like to eat? My chickens. So I'm going to protect my chickens. I'm going to take care, because wisdom says this. It don't matter how cute and fuzzy they are. There's going to be a day that they're going to get into the chicken house. Years ago, I remember someone that I wasn't really friends with. It was acquaintance. And I remember as we got up of a certain age, they had a child. And I remember as they had this little boy, he started growing up, and they would laugh at this. They would get him to do things like go over and kick somebody. Hey, go over and kick him. And he'd go over and kick him, and they would laugh because he was cute. He was cute. And they would tell him to say some of the most obnoxious things that he had no idea what he was saying. And they would tell him to do that, and he would do it, and everybody would laugh because he was so cute, and he would say these things and they would just laugh. But it wasn't really funny. I remember some 16 years later or so looking into the local paper and seeing this who once was a little cute little boy that kicked people in the shins and cussed them out. And you laughed. And I seen in the paper in the magistrate report that he was in trouble. And I remember thinking, well, that's a shock. That's really a shocking thing, being, of course, facetious. Of course that's where that went. Of course, after a while, it wasn't petty. The next time I heard about him, he was facing a long prison term. That wasn't a hard thing to believe, that this little innocent looking little action would lead to something more. Was it? It wasn't at all odd to think that this is going to go somewhere when you teach someone to disrespect and dishonor and do that. It wasn't hard to think where that would go in that. Well, I want us to think and consider today about the little things. Because sometimes we think, if I have a major something, I better get it took care of. I'm going to say most major things end up in the beginnings. It's a small thing. But the problem, and Brother Carl told us a little bit about it today, talked about that, those pine trees that end up, those trees that end up with the big roots down in there, And it takes something. But I want to tell you something. I fool with this kind of stuff all the time. Got a property that I fool with. And I want to tell you what I do. I can pull them things up by my hands. And I do it a lot up there. When they're not where they're supposed to be, I reach down there and get a hold of them and just jerk them up out of the ground. They're about this big. Sometimes they're about this big. They get up this high, you can't do it. But when they're just about like this, just grab a hold of them and pull them up out of there. It won't be no trouble to me, Brother Carl. That's because they're little. And they're easier. It's easier to deal with the little things when just a sproutling, of course. And you look and say, that's in the wrong place. I don't want that there. I don't want this troubling me. And you can pull it up out of there. It's an easy thing. It's an easy thing to deal with. Sometimes in our lives, there becomes issues. Can I just say something that I've learned? We can all be prone to an attitude that we shouldn't have. We can all have things happen and the devil will tempt us or whatever and we'll get an attitude about a situation. I thank God that he talks with me. I don't know about you all, but I'm so glad that the Lord will talk to me and help me to see, okay, thank you, Lord. I get it. Those kind of things. But you know, the best thing to do is before there's another scripture that says something about this root of bitterness that defiles many. You know, the best time to deal with the root of bitterness is when it presents itself. I wouldn't recommend this. I'm just going to tell you that the way it works. This is the way it goes. Something happens and somebody says something and it's a little offensive and maybe it makes you feel littler than you'd like to feel and you feel like that they're doing something to you that they shouldn't do. Now everybody's experienced some of those kind of things where somebody made them feel like they wasn't respected the way they ought to. And so what happens most of the time is there is a thought pattern that goes along with that. And most of the time it isn't bless their heart. They don't know what they're doing. Most of the time it is they know exactly what they're doing and they did it on purpose and they shouldn't have done it. And if I get the opportunity to at least let them know that somehow they need to experience that they didn't do right. That's the pattern. And so then it will go farther. You meditate that way for a few days or a few weeks. And you set that in there. That thing gets rooted in. It starts rooting in and rooting in. You know, the best thing to do with those kind of things is to start pulling things out of your heart when they start getting in there. It's best to get it when it's little and not have to deal with it when it's a great big thing. Or I'll say this, many times it happens this way. Brother, I need to talk to you about something. Now, I know you didn't mean it, but I want you to know that you hurt me. Well, the person, well, I didn't do that at all, and you're just exaggerating. You just done it again. And you go around, and before long, and then the whole dealings of it is, you've just got that old taproot just a little bit further. And after a while, you don't have the ability to start pulling it up out of there. You're going to need machines now, and you're going to need help. My message today is that it's much better to deal with the little things that happen in life, get them right, bring them unto the Lord. Bring them and get a victory over those things before they become something too big to deal with. Now, most of you here that's heard me preach, and we'll hear this story, but I'm going to tell it again, and maybe I can tell it better, and you'll enjoy it more. But years ago, I wasn't saved, but about a year or so. And after I got saved, I had such a desire to do it right. I really wanted to serve the Lord. I wanted to please the Lord. And what, if anything that I knew, which I didn't know much, I knew that Christians don't act bad. They don't act up. They don't act bad. You don't see a Christian acting up. Christians aren't supposed to act up. I knew that little bit of truth. And so I didn't act up. Well, in the process of time, I was newly married and things were, you know how those things are. You work things out and sometimes you don't always agree on every particular thing. And sometimes there's little bits of rifts and those kind of things. And that's a natural thing to happen. But I didn't know how to deal. I didn't know how to deal with things. I sincerely didn't know how to deal with it, but I knew how to act right. And I want to say that in that I knew how to act right. And so when the things would happen that would get me going, I wanted to serve the Lord. And it was a conflict with me because I can naturally be a passionate person and really get after it. But I was swallowing it. I was swallowing it down. Kept swallowing it down and swallowing it down. And that's the way I felt out like it was. I acted right. Well, there come a day, me and my wife was coming off of Miller Mountain, windy mountain road, coming off the road, and we got into one of those things, and I tried to swallow. Well, I swallowed two or three times over it, but it just didn't stay down. I had swallowed and swallowed, I was a successful Christian because I'd acted right the whole time. And I was coming off of there about 55 miles an hour, and just now something happened that wasn't even close to sanctification. I locked the brakes up and went skidding down the road. I mean, sliding into this wide area. I lost it. You know why that happened? I ended up going to the altar sometime later. It was hard to convince my wife to ride with me, of course. But, you know, you do what you have to do. I'm sorry and apologize. Why did that happen? That was the hugest failure. What a failure. And I've been acting right. I mean, this wasn't even a little thing then at this point. This was a gigantic thing. So I went to the altar. And Brother Tony came down to the altar with me, and so I told him the story. And he kind of shakes his head and says, "Brother Marty, really, that's not the way you do it." Well, Brother Tony, I mean, I'm at the point that I know that. You know, I mean, that's obvious that didn't work. So what's the deal? Brother Marty, you need to get victory over these little things. It's not about swallowing and acting. It's about getting it right. It's about truly having a forgiveness, truly being able to have the grace for it. It's not, and so, you know what? Little things can pile up onto us, pile onto us. We can allow the little things to become a conglomeration of a huge matter of little things. We're much better off to learn that God is close to every one of us. We have an access, Brother Carl. There is no point, time, and day that you can't go to heaven for the grace that you need. There's no time that you can't call upon the Lord to help you with these little things that don't have to sprout and grow. And when I'm going to say this, when you find yourself in the still of the night with no other influence is on you and you're running your mind against that bitterness or against that person or any of those kind of things, stop. You're only going to cause it to grow deeper. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord for the right thought process. Do you know in that little list of thoughts where the Lord said, on these things think? None of them was in there about running a thought process against your brother. No, if anything be virtuous, yeah, think on that. A good report, yeah, you got that. Honest and good. The holy things, the pure things, think on these things. Don't let your mind run to those other things. Because if you do, you cause them to grow and get bigger and bigger. Now this scripture says, by much slothfulness, the building decayeth. And what it means is, much slothfulness is that you're in a building and you look and there's a little drip when it starts raining. You need to fix it. Because if you don't, it's going to run down on the wood. And then you're going to look up there a few weeks later and you're going to see a little stain on them. Oh, and it won't destroy it immediately. It just starts decaying it. And after a while, the one leak ends up being another leak and another leak and a bigger leak. And then the wind blows and a limb slaps the window out of the house, and now the window glass is broke and the water's blowing in that way. And a little slothfulness, there's slothfulness involved in this. Of not just being willing to just get that done in my soul. Taking care of that, making sure that this is taken care of in my life. Winston Churchill said when, before World War II, this is just plain history. The Germans was being aggressive. And Winston Churchill said, we need to deal with them. But nobody would listen. And his statement was, we will deal with them either in their weakness or in their strength. We'll either deal now in their weakness or we'll deal later in their strength. They decided not to deal in the weakness, and the strength was almost too much to deal with when they had to. And it was all because there was nobody willing to do it while it was little. You maybe don't have the enough incentive yet. You don't have enough anguish yet. There's not enough damage done yet. You understand what I'm saying? I'm only going to deal in my spiritual life when I see what? A separation between me and my wife? That's pretty much damage. Well, when that gets to that point, brother, you're going to see somebody start dealing with things. Or when my whole family's a disaster, crashed around, then, boy, I'm going to deal with things. I see the damage is so much. When nobody in the community trusts me anymore, or when the whole thing, I'm going to deal with things when it just boils down. You know, I'd be better off. You just pull the weeds out now. They're just weeds. Their roots have just got in there a little bit. You know, I spoke of trees a while ago, but I have some different weeds that grows up in my raspberry briars. And every spring, it's not a hard thing to pull them out when they sprout up. Their roots ain't much. You can pull them out. But one thing I sure noticed, that later in the summer, you go out there and pull on them things. You can heave and pull, and you can even pull. You might break them off, but you don't get the roots out anymore. And you know what happens when you just pull the top off? They go out there sometimes and they have two tops on them. They'll get you. You pull one top off, they'll go three. They'll just keep growing. You got to get the roots out, and now you have to actually put out effort that a second it'd take, and now you're out there laboring to try to get the thing out of there and not destroy everything else around in there, and it becomes a big matter when it was so simple. Can I say this? How simple are these words? I'm sorry. How simple is that? Oh, I'm sorry about that. Pretty simple, isn't it? You know, you can get going until just a simple, I'm sorry, don't cut it. I'm sorry, don't get it. It's going to have to be a lot more than that. By much slothfulness, the building decayeth, and through idleness of hands, the house droppeth through. There's an old adage, a stitch in time saves nine. Now, I'm supposing... I'm supposing that simply means when a cloth starts ripping, Brother Carl, you just put a stitch in it. And it'll save you nine stitches down the road. It'll keep it from ripping more. When you see the problem, you start dealing with the thing. The issue. You deal with the issue. I've got an issue here. If I don't leave this, it's going to start becoming more and more and more. It's another simple thing. If you go out and scratch your arm on the barbed wire, it might be a good idea to go ahead and clean that out. Well, when my arm's all festered and swollen and I'll clean it. You know, you might wait too long. It might be a whole lot harder to do it after that time. The time to take care of it is when it's a little matter. Just a small thing. There has been fires, and especially, you probably know the reports, there's fires out in California that they've been fighting, and it's burned up. I don't know. I heard somewhere is the size of Rhode Island or something, the area that burned out there in one of those fires. A million acres or something. I mean, lots of land had burned up. And you know, when that fire started, I could have blew it out. It probably started on the end of a match. I could have blew it out then. It wouldn't have burned anything but the end of the match. I mean, when it was just a 2 foot wide, I could have probably stomped it out. It wouldn't have took anything to do it. See, that's the way it is. That's the way it is, folks. There's a lot of issues that we don't blow out, and it's a towering inferno by the time we try to deal with the issues about it. The time to deal with the spiritual things of our life, Lord help us, is to deal with them when they're in a small state. In the beginning of the state, don't allow that thing to keep going. I would be willing to say, and if I could think of an exception that I believed, I'd tell you, but I can't think of any. I don't think anybody ever backslides overnight that loves the Lord and serving Him. I don't think it's an overnight thing. I don't think somebody just happens to fall to temptation. Most of the time, there's an issue. In my experience of serving the Lord, almost 100% of the time when somebody really has an issue in their spiritual life and they want me to pray for them, when I ask this question, no matter how simple or hideous their actions have been, when I ask the question, how is your prayer life? It's never good. When I ask, how do you read and pray? The answer is almost always, not really. There's some small things that make a big difference. There's some things that doesn't seem to be overly big that's going to make, when we check the wisdom of the matter, where is this going to lead me? Where do you, and I want to get down to it, but where do you really think inattention to the Lord will lead your life? Where do you think that's really going to go? Do you really think that you will become really established and settled in the Lord when you don't give the Lord any attention? When you don't give your spiritual life any attention. If you don't pray and you don't read and you really don't give anything to the service of the Lord, you don't give a devotion to the Lord, where do you really think that will end up? It doesn't seem to be like big things. It's not like being martyred. It's not like taking a six-month boat ride to China for missionary. It doesn't seem like the big things that people have done. It definitely isn't matching up to a crucifixion or anything like that. It's just a little thing called devotion. It's a little thing that keeps the importance of the Lord in your life. That's what it is. And the faithfulness or the non-faithfulness of that little thing can make a huge difference in your spiritual life. It can make the difference to whether, when it comes down to somebody that does something against you, whether you have victory or you don't have victory. It really does. And it starts out with such a small little thing. And Churchill says, deal with it in the weakness and you don't have to deal with it in the strength. Wouldn't it be so much better to deal with it in a simple devotion than I have to try to come back from a hideous fall? I remember, I don't think Brother Ron's here, but Brother Ron Zacharias, he had given me his tape one time. I remember this minister was on his tape, and the story went like this. There was a man in this pastor's congregation, and the man had been a faithful man for years. He had a wife and had, I think, 6 children, if I'm not mistaken. And the man ended up running away with his secretary or something hideous and ended up going away. And after the whole fall and stuff, he comes back to the pastor and he's telling the pastor, he's saying that I messed up and all these things. Running away with her was my big sin or something. And the pastor stopped him and said, stop, just stop. That wasn't your big sin. You left the Lord. You wasn't serious with the Lord. You want the pastor to tell you the truth? It didn't just happen overnight and you run away. You neglected God. And the reality, the wisdom of it says you leave God, this is what happens to you. Your big sin wasn't that. That was just a fulfillment of the sin you had. Your sin was you neglected your soul. You left the Lord. You didn't pray. You didn't have to pray. You didn't do those things. And because of it, you fell into a temptation. Your big sin was your neglect of God. That seems like such a small little matter, but what a big thing it creates. It can create an inferno. It can create a tree that's so well planted. What are you going to do? You can't go pull it up. You know, now we got equipment that can pull up some of the biggest trees in one big swipe. I've seen them. Some of them is big. But back in the days of the scriptures, when it talked about a tree and it big rooted in, that was because they were formidable to a human. I mean, now it took something to get that. I mean, you go cut it down, and even cutting it down, you chopped and whittled and cut that big thing down. And then when it fell, what are you going to do with the stump? Well, it'd take a bunch of people digging and pulling to try to get there. It was formidable to people. It was a big issue. And the scripture says here that just a little, what's it say? And through the idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. And we look and say at the end of it, what an awful thing to see such a beautiful piece of artwork. Somebody's skill in carpentry built this beautiful mansion, this beautiful house, and you look and say, it's fell through. But do you know that it was just the idleness of the hands that allowed it to come and fall through? You look and say, man, it's that old, them old insects are terrible on that wood. And man, that water's awful on wood. It was idleness of hands. It was idleness of hands that the house fell through. There was no hands that put it back. There was nobody that done anything with it. So Lord, help us today to consider, as we go through life, to consider that it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And foxes are going to grow up. It's so cute. Those things are so cute. It ain't cute when it grows up. It's got teeth on it. And it's mean and it's vicious. And we say sometimes, and Lord help us, I hope you get the point of this. We say sometimes, it don't matter. It's such a little thing. Yeah, I know technically that song wouldn't be considered a good one. Or, you know, that movie technically didn't have that much bad stuff. I've had people actually say that to me. Well, it only had one scene in it that really had any nudity in it. Now, I don't want to say too much, but somebody actually told me that one time. Actually said things like that. Well, what difference does it make? It's only music. Yeah, but you're encouraging bad things. And you're listening to bad things. And you're taking on bad things. And you say, what difference does it make? What difference does a few little things make? I'm going to tell you it can make a huge difference once it grows. I'm going to tell you that it's easier to say no before you got a habit. Somebody said to my grandmother one time, my uncle actually said to my grandmother, said, Mommy, you cannot tell me that it is bad for you to have one beer. And my grandmother said, well, maybe not, but I never knew anybody that drank two until they drank one. Oh, Grandma, good point. You may not be an alcoholic with one. You may not go to a bad place with one, but nobody ever become that without drinking one. So little things do matter. Little things and little places do matter. It makes a difference to our own. What do we really want? Do I want something so bad? I told somebody one time, they was talking about this and they said to me, well, there's some good in this. You can't say that there isn't some good. You don't have to watch the bad or do this. You can't say there isn't some good in it. And I told him, but I'm not going to swim around in a cesspool for a dime. There may be a dime down in there, but I'm not going after it. So understand what I'm saying? You say, well, there's some element in there somewhere that something's good, but what do I have to swim through to get it? What am I going to smell like when I get something that you call that? At the end of it, nothing. So, Lord, help us today to consider this idea of the day of small things, the little things that do matter, the things that end up going on there. I'm going to give you another example of this. I kind of got my mind and head into the political things of this last year. And I like to keep up with things anyway. I consider myself a kind of an information junkie sometimes. I like information. I can relate that to messages. I can relate that to life. I like information. And so I get information from there or from there. But this one particular time, there was something going on, and somebody in a political sense said something that I absolutely didn't believe in. And the thought that come into my head about that person, not about the idea, about the person, the thought that come into my head about that person was not the thought that I want to think. The thought was, is that I wish something would happen to that guy. And immediately the Lord reproved me with a thought like that. Is that what that's going to lead you to? I want you to think about their salvation. My thought should have been, I sure wish I could get the truth to that guy. I sure wish that salvation could come to these people. They need to be saved. That wasn't the thought. I'm just telling you to be careful. Where is it going to take you? You know, me and you're different in a lot of ways. There's things that I could probably not, wouldn't wrinkle me a bit, that you might have a lot of trouble with. I've dealt with people that have a lot of trouble with music. And I'm not very musically inclined. I'm not much of a singer, and I'm not musically inclined. And there is people that would listen to any kind of music just as long as there's some rhythm. And they just love music. Well, there's nothing wrong with music. God definitely made the music. And there's good and holy music to listen to, and it's a blessing. And my wife, she loves music, and it's the saints singing, and it's good songs and all those kind of things. And it's fun to go down the highway and put some of that on sometimes, and it's encouraging and uplifting. Everything that's musical is not good. You understand what I'm saying? The old saying was, it soothes the savage beast. Music can pep you up till you want to drive faster, and also make you melancholy and you drive slower. Music can turn your emotions from one thing to another and back and forth, and there can be good music that uplifts God, uplifts your brother, uplifts your soul, and feeds you with those kind of things, and you can say amen, and there's music out there that'll do every bit of that opposite. It'll make you mean and hateful and lustful. It'll stir your... It's a known fact that you can listen to some music and get your blood rate up. It's a known fact that it'll pump you. There's a lot of things that it can do that. And if it can soothe you, it can irritate you. Oh, Lord help us. Brother Marty, you're going way off the deep end when you start touching on things like that. I want to tell you, little things do matter. Little things definitely matter. And Lord help us to be able to pull it down while we can. Because once it gets so big, it's too hard to do. And sometimes we don't have the fortitude or the will to hardly want to do it after a while. In World War II, when Churchill made that statement, if they would have took actions, almost all the historians agree, if the actions would have been took, they could have avoided it. Actions wasn't took when it was easy to do. And it was left and left and left because there was no will to do it until it got to the point, and most of us know the history of it, it took a major killing, a major destruction, major destroying to rid that, to change that, to turn that thing around. It took the lives of millions of people. I mean, the economic damage was huge. The life damage was huge. All of it was huge because it wasn't just simply dealt with when it was a wee little thing starting off. up home, they have what they call multiflora rose. Multiflora rose was brought into the country up there because it is one of the most incredible briars. It grows into a big old briar, and the thorns on it are long and sharp and thick. That bush is thick, and you plant it as a hedgerow for a fence. You would not need a fence in any just about any critter that there is. If you had that down the fence line, nothing would venture through it. You could not get through it. And because they said it would not spread to adjacent areas, there was no way to spread it. You plant it, that's where it's at. But they left that. They didn't understand that the seeds would not germinate and grow by themselves. But they didn't realize that all they had to do was pass through the intestine of a bird to change it until they would germinate and grow. And so they put them in up there with the idea that if you put these in here, they won't go everywhere. And they put them in, and the birds liked the seeds. And now West Virginia is crawling with multiflora rose that went everywhere. It was easy to deal with it when they started because there wasn't much of it. You could deal with it pretty easy. But go deal with multiflora rose now. It's the awfulest things. When I deal with it, I get clippers and actually have to start on the outside clipping the briars and making them little so you can get in, so you can dare to get in and do it, because you can't already get to them to cut where you need to unless you've got a tractor or a dozer or something to push it out of the way with. To go in there by hand is an awful thing, and you can't pull them up by the roots. You got to cut them off, and then they want to grow back, and it's just a plant to be reckoned with, and it was all easy when it was little, before it started everywhere. And now it's something to deal with. And so it is, I believe, in our lives many times, there is a time when we recognize, and I think the Lord's faithful. He has been to me. He's been faithful to say, you're erring here. You're thinking, you're doing this. You know, that's the time to do it. You know, we have something. It's not just unique to us, but a lot of people don't have it. It's a religious service. We have an altar. And we give an opportunity, almost all of our services, I guess all of our services, not almost, any time that you wanted to come and pray and deal with it. We leave it open for this very reason, that there be an opportunity to deal as soon as it's known, as soon as it's revealed, that it doesn't have to keep going. You have the opportunity. Do you know there's no shame in going and praying? No. There's no shame in going and praying. It's not in any way. This is the pursuit of the Lord. It don't have to be a big thing. I'm not talking about the devil warning you about things that ain't important. I'm talking about having a sincere desire to have something and take care of something. Don't allow the sun to go down on your wrath is another expression of don't let it grow. Take care of that deal before you get it ingrained in there. Before you have a chance to sleep on it. Sleep on it and get it in there. No, take care of the matter. I want to say today, if there's an ought in your life between people, take care of it. Just simply take care of it. If there's a root of bitterness, if there's an unforgiveness, sometimes unforgiveness is like that you can have, don't need to be expressed to anybody but God. The unforgiveness is in here. I mean, sometimes going and doing it just stirs up things. Sometimes that's what people want. I need to go, well, I had somebody come to me and say, I want to apologize for something. And I didn't have a clue what they was apologizing for. Didn't know there was anything between them. Want to apologize to you. Well, okay. And by the time I got through, I sure not knew what they had against me. And they wanted to apologize. Oh, I need to apologize to you. I'm going to get this off. Well, you just, okay, that's good. You apologize. Well, I'm sorry because you did this. And at the end of it, I said, you're forgiven. I mean, you're forgiven. I sincerely hope it works after that. I mean, really? I mean, listen, don't apologize that way. Don't apologize that way. You sincerely have something and you need to ask forgiveness, simply go and say, I need you to forgive me. I had thoughts I didn't need to have. You don't need to do that. It's not good for anything. Just to say, I want to take care of that. You forgive me? Yes, you're forgiven. You know, take care of those things, because after a long, long time,
Brother Carl wouldn't know this person, but somebody that told me, this was amazing, because it was years and years. And this woman finally went to the altar, and she was crying after. She told me it was in Holly Hill. She told me after that there had been something that was, 30 or 40 years? I was 30 or 40 years, she said, that there was a hard feeling that she had this, and it was all that time. You would go that long just over that? Lord help us. It's just something to take care of. So I wanted to express today this. If it's before it gets to be something big, dig it out, take it out, pull it out, take care of it. Issues that arise, bitternesses that pop up, somebody says something, don't pack that thing around like it's a badge. Go ahead and get rid of it. Take care of the thing when it's a little thought or a little issue in your mind, and it'll be so much easier later, because down the road, it'll be an issue. If anybody here thinks that you can just mellow through this thing and not be serious about it, and at the end of it, it'll all work out, I'm going to tell you, it won't. This isn't, the gospel is not meant to live that way. Is that I can take it or leave it. No, you take this. And you put your all into it, and you'll find great victory in it. You'll find that it works. And when you don't, you'll find out that there'll be many sorrows all around that's created simply because I didn't have the grace for it. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.